Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Conversations with David Icke. David's been traveling all over the world, taking all kinds of slings and arrows, but making his points known, and I'm so glad he's finally back on the show. Good morning, David.
Morning, Maria.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, actually. Yeah, it's been an interesting 3 weeks. The new book came out, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, about 3 weeks ago, and I did a tour of three book launch events, one in Scotland, one in London, and the other one in the north of England in Manchester. And it was interesting is an understatement.
Well, I've been following, I followed your traverse, your travels around the world on Facebook, but I was stunned when they canceled that one venue for you. And now they were accusing you of being an anti-Semite as the reason.
Yeah, this is a very important area. What has happened since I started this world tour, which the tour of all day events finished in Maastricht in the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago. As I've gone around the world and the information has got out more and more and more, the attempts to silence me have got more and more hysterical. And what happens is that Israel has a network, and it certainly in the Western world, it is a network in every country, of what I call ultra-Zionist hate groups. And I call them hate groups because their modus operandi is to get the public to hate the target, in this case, me. And so, ironically, they go on and on about hate and hate speech when they're hate groups. That's exactly what they are. They're doing exactly what they claim to be against. And it's a simple thing that if you can't demonize someone because of what they're saying, then say they're saying something else. And we've had this bizarre situation where I've been accused of racism and anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, of course, is a complete misrepresentation of the term. Anti-Semite basically means anti-Arab, ironically. What they do is they say that you're blaming all Jews for the ills of the world, which is exactly not what I'm doing. But what happens is that they go to venues and they tell the venues that I'm this, they describe me, this is how they describe me, a modern day hate preacher who is railing against Jews and with the claims of the Nazis. Basically, that's the way they go. And what happens is the venues that pull, and one or two have, but we've always found replacements, they never come back to you and say, hey, well, these people are saying this, you know, what you got to say about this? They don't do that. Not only do they cancel without telling you, they cancel without even researching what you're actually saying. So we had these three book launch events, and I spoke in Edinburgh in Scotland, and the hate groups were onto the venue saying that I was going to say this and I'm going to say that. And the lady who ran it actually spent a lot of time in Israel, ironically. And she got a barrister on to look at what I was saying to see if it was racist, and he decided it wasn't. And it went ahead, and it was fine. It was a really great evening. I then went on to London 2 days later, and they tried again, but the owner of the venue in London had also looked at what I was saying and realized they were lying, basically. and it went ahead. And then the third one was going to be at what claims to be the biggest football soccer club in the world, Manchester United, in the northwest of England. And my son Jamie and the team had been working on this event for months. It was a dinner, an evening dinner, and I was going to talk and about the book and what I did in Edinburgh and London. And right up to, it was on a Friday night, right up to the Thursday afternoon, Jamie and the team were in contact with the staff at Manchester United with the arrangements. Mm-hmm. The next morning, with these hate groups still trying to get the thing cancelled, there was an intervention by a member of parliament for Manchester, in fact, the constituency where Manchester United is, called Kate Green. She's a member of the opposition Labour Party, what you would call in America, and increasingly the term is used around the world, you call them progressives, anti-liberal progressives they are, really, because the less than they are is liberal. And she then announces on social media that she's going to intervene. She did, and Manchester United pulled the event at 10:30 in the morning on the day it was happening. Some people were coming from abroad. Some people were going to celebrate birthdays at the dinner. Many of the people there would have been the constituents of this member of parliament and supporters, ironically again, of Manchester United. And this Kate Green told Manchester United what the hate groups told her about me. She then gets on to an anti-racist group related to tackling racism in football called Kick It Out. And she told them what the hate groups told her. And they then contacted Manchester United and said, we can't have this man speaking in a football ground. And they pulled it. And Manchester United, this so-called biggest football club in the world, they not only pulled it, they didn't tell us. We found out on social media they pulled it. And when my son Jamie drove over to the Manchester United ground, when we saw that it was cancelled, to ask the people he'd been dealing with for months what was going on, they refused to speak to him and had a security guard escort him off the premises.
Wow.
So this is the stunning lack of integrity of both of Manchester United and also both Kick It Out and the Labour MP. I mean, the lack of integrity of the ultra-Zionist hate groups doesn't even need mentioning. But what happened, and this is where we're going now, really. People who found out about this were so appalled that everyone pulled together in Manchester to find us another venue, including a Jewish man. Huh. The ironies were endless in this whole saga. And by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we had another venue at those hours' notice. It couldn't go ahead in exactly the form that we had planned for months, but it went ahead. The people involved got a lot of backlash too for what they did. But this is how it works. And these ultra-Zionist hate groups, and their claims about stopping racism are absolutely mendacious. It's nothing to do with that. That's just the excuse. What they are doing is seeking, on behalf of their masters in Israel and at the Israeli embassy in London, they are seeking to control the narrative so that there can be no criticism of Israel in any way, shape, or form. I mean, when you have a new definition of anti-Semitism, again, you know, completely misrepresentation of the word, that actually includes criticism of Israel, a political regime, then you know that you're not dealing with something that's about racism. It's about controlling the narrative. And I went on from Manchester to Maastricht in the Netherlands, very, very close to the German border, not far from Dusseldorf and Cologne. And we went there for a specific reason. At least 14 venues in Germany over the last year have either not taken a booking because it was me, or cancelled when the hate groups approached them once they'd taken the booking. Yeah. So in free democratic Germany, I'm not allowed to speak currently because the hate groups shut it down. So we went to Maastricht, just across the German border, to give German people the chance to hear what I've got to say. And so we go there, and that was the last all-day talk of this particular round of events. Uh-huh. And again, these hate groups, this time in the Netherlands, were pressing the venue to cancel. And the hysteria got it's reaching ridiculous proportions. I mean, what happens is when a venue resists the pressure to cancel, they then get more and more hysterical. And we had the absolutely ludicrous sight of one of these members of these hate groups writing in the Netherlands that he believed that me being allowed to speak and talking about the need to love each other and right. all that stuff was a direct threat to his life.
Wow.
This is the madness you're dealing with.
Oh my God.
And so I take it as a compliment, really, that they are so concerned about the impact that this information is having now on more and more people, that that they have to go to these ludicrous lengths to try to silence me. And I'm sure it will go on, and we just have to deal with it.
Wow, that's just totally crazy. Well, you know, truth is, we're living in 1984 now, where truth is attacked and lies are honored. You know, what do you think about the fact that right now you have Trump, who's going to declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel, despite all the countries in the Middle East saying this is going to start another gigantic issue?
Well, you see, what's being missed, and it's being missed on purpose, with all this nonsense about, you know, Russia rigging the election and Russia controlling the Trump regime, it's all a diversion for a number of reasons. One, to stop any coming together of America and Russia, because the people in the background, the hidden hand, wants to keep them apart and in conflict because it suits where they want the world to go. And secondly, the whole focus on Russia with this outrageously biased, blatantly biased Mueller so-called investigation, full of anti-Trump Democrats, the diversion of Russia is hiding or diverting away from the real controlling force of the Trump administration, and that is Israel, and ultimately through Israel, which is a fiefdom of the Rothschilds, the control by the Rothschilds and that whole Rothschild network. Mm. So when you look at Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of Trump, his father was and is a very, very close friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. In fact, on one of Netanyahu's visits since Trump has been president, he's actually said at a press conference that he once slept in Jared Kushner's bed in his childhood bedroom when he right. was visiting Kushner's father, who, of course, was convicted for fraud and other things. And so when you look at Jared Kushner, who's basically Trump's biggest advisor, he is just an agent of Israel. I mean, it's come out this last few days that that Kushner didn't mention when he should that he has been funding illegal settlements in Israel. So right. the Israeli Zionist mafia control the Bush administration. He appointed, of course, an ultra extreme Zionist to be ambassador to Israel. He appointed another ultra-extreme Zionist to be his negotiator of international relations, including the negotiator between the Palestinians and Israel. I mean, it's a joke. The whole thing's a joke. He's given the U.S. Treasury to Goldman Sachs,
right.
which, of course, is an ultra-Zionist banking operation. So It's plain as you can see that Israel is controlling the Bush administration.
Well, you, David, I have to stop you. You made the same mistake twice that I often make. You're calling it the Bush administration. I make that same. You are, and I call it. I make that same mistake because this takes me back to the Bush years, but worse.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the Bushes have had so much involvement, haven't they? In the
well, and look at Bush now. Look at Bush now. Look at Bush now. How he's trying to redefine himself.
Yeah, that was kind of Freudian slip anyway, because
I do it all the time.
The Zionists also controlled the Bush administrations, not just the boy Bush one. And the Trump administration is controlled by Israel, and that which controls Israel. And this is why, from the moment that Trump was elected, they started in Israel just building and building and building more and more illegal settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories and kicking the Palestinians off even the small bit of land that they've been left with. They knew, because Trump was coming to power, that that they would have no resistance from the U.S. administration to doing that. This is why they've done it.
Right.
And, of course, the recognition of Jerusalem as the center of the Zionist world, and also the moving of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is very, very, very significant in terms of the fact that Israel gets whatever it wants, because, of course, as you rightly point out, the resistance and the outrage from other Muslim countries in the Middle East is obviously going to follow because of the symbolic significance of that change. But you know,
but isn't it odd that
Trump is just a puppet?
Right, isn't
he's not
it
running that administration? He's a man-child. He's doing what he's told.
Right, but isn't it odd that the whole world is expecting and depending on Trump declaring Jerusalem the capital? I mean, what does that have to do with an American president or America?
Well, it has nothing except on the face of it, except that, of course, what America decides is right and wrong in the world has a massive impact on other Western countries following suit. I mean, Israel itself was recognized at something like 3 o'clock in the morning by an American president in 1948 because of Zionist pressure. And once America had recognized Israel as a state, then everyone else followed. And it's a similar process we're looking at here. We are seeing the removal, the systematic removal. We've been seeing it since 1948, but it's become more and more obvious now. The systematic removal of Palestinians from what's left of their land. It's just outrageous. It's sickening. It's extraordinary. I mean, you know, I was reading a story this week about, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls were due to be put on display in Germany. And they are not going to be now because the Israeli government couldn't get assurances from the German authorities that there wouldn't be a legal challenge to the ownership of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which Israel claims ownership from. But of course, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found before the creation of Israel, when the Palestinians and the Jordanian authorities were in control of that land, and they claim the right to ownership of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were found on their land before Israel became Israel. But Israel, of course, then says, no, we're having them, like it does with everything.
Right.
And we've got this ludicrous now situation where they're not put on display in Germany because out of fear of a legal challenge to their ownership were that to be done.
Right, but they're probably more afraid of the fact that it would disprove most of what they call their holy books.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Israeli story concocted by people like the Rothschilds and their network is just make-believe. I mean, the vast majority of Jewish people today don't come from biblical Israel at all. They come from area in the southern Russia and the Caucasus Mountains now, where Georgia is, etc. And a people called the Khazars, who had a mass conversion to Judaism in 740 AD. And then when the Khazar Empire broke up, they moved up into Eastern Europe and then into Western Europe and Germany, and then eventually went to Israel. But they are not from biblical Israel. They're from Khazaria in southern Russia. And the king of Khazaria was known as the Kagan. And it was the king that decided they were going to have this mass conversion. And that's why Kagan is such a common Jewish name today, is because that's the origin, the king of Khazaria, the Kagan. And so they've made up this story. And when you break it down, indeed, just don't have to break it down. You just have to see the quotes that they use to justify the hijacking of Palestine. And that is that God gave them the land, and God said that that was true in the Old Testament. So that's all we need. All we need is an Old Testament group of ancient writings written by who knows when, in who knows what circumstances, to justify the removal of an entire people from their land. Because when the Rothschilds, and it was the Rothschilds, started pouring more and more Jewish people out of Germany and Europe into Palestine, at that point, the Palestinian population was 85% of that land. Look at it now. They're just small areas now that they occupy, in that open-air concentration camp called Gaza. And even that's now being stolen. And we have this situation whereby you have Jewish-only areas. You have Jewish-only areas in occupied land where no Palestinians are allowed to live. That is apartheid. That is in-your-face racism. And the irony is that those who are, I say that ultra-Zionism is actually the most racist creed on earth, and they actually silence opposition by calling them racist, you know. I mean, it's there's so many ironies, so many inversions. And because what has happened is so blatant and so provable and so obvious, this is what this network of ultra-Zionist hate groups are there for, to silence people. They have to silence people. They have to silence everyone. I mean, they are the equivalent. You know, in fairgrounds where an amusement arcades, where you have those machines and you have a hammer and a head or something will come up and you have to bang right. The person on the head when it comes up, and then you have to bang another one when it comes up, and another one. You have to keep doing that. This is how these ultra-Zionist hate groups work, because they have to silence the truth. Otherwise, the outrageous nature of what has happened right. will become widespread knowledge.
Well, I see it, and I can tell you, I see it myself on my site. I don't talk about it much, but I have a lot of bots attacking my site, attacking my software, and even my Microsoft account. They told me that some Russian IPs were trying to sign into my accounts. I mean, crazy stuff. And, you know, I'm not out there as big as you are, David, and I have to clear off at least 10 every day. So, you know, here we're living in a time where if you tell the truth, you get demonized. I did want to ask you, what do you think about this situation with North Korea?
Well, I find all this very, very interesting for many reasons. And one of them is this. I mean, we've talked about this before, but it's worth reprising it very quickly. When you have that document from the Project for the New American Century in September 2000, which listed a series of countries they wanted to regime change, they were Iraq, Libya, Syria, Iran, Lebanon, North Korea, as well as China. And then the people that wrote it came to power with the Bush administration in early 2001. Then came 9/11, which was an event that was the document said, actually, we're going to need an event like Pearl Harbor to justify this. And they got it, of course, and we know why. And then after the lies to get into Iraq and remove Saddam Hussein by Bush and Blair, we then have a change of American president and American party with Obama, the same in Britain with a guy called David Cameron. And they pick the next one off the list, which is Libya, and then start the next one off the list, although the Russians have thrown a spanner in the works there, Syria. And these are different people in different parties, but the same list is being ticked off. And then in comes Trump, who is supposed to be anti-establishment and is supposed to be claiming that he stands for getting America out of being involved in foreign wars and other people's business. And who is he demonizing? He's demonizing Iran. He's demonizing North Korea. The list goes on being ticked off. And what I find interesting is the way that countries, say this guy in North Korea, and you know, if you look at the history of the Korean War and you see what the American military did to Korea in the Korean War, no wonder the North Koreans are very, very wary of the United States. But here you have a guy who suddenly starts doing exactly what the manipulators want in terms of firing these missiles, just when they want to demonize North Korea. And you see the same in Gaza. Whenever the Israelis want another go at Gaza, you know, the dropping state-of-the-art weapons on a defenseless country, then these, by comparison, pop gun missiles, bombs that hardly make a hole in a road, start getting shot out of Gaza towards Israel, which then gives Netanyahu and his mass killers the excuse to unleash their state-of-the-art, overwhelmingly American state-of-the-art weaponry on the Gaza people. And I don't think it's an accident that just when they need an excuse, that excuse turns up.
Right.
I obviously, North Korea is a very, very closed country, and it's very difficult to find out anything going on there. But it's not an accident for me that these missiles are being sent suddenly by someone who just at the time they want to demonize and want to frighten people about so they can justify going in and removing him. So the question would be, yes, we hear about this guy, this man-child again in North Korea, but who's really controlling him? Yeah, it's being done through him, like it's being done through Trump, but who's really controlling him so that these missiles start getting fired just at the right time to justify what these people want? It's not a coincidence for me.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting because when you look at how against the treaty with Iran Trump is, because you know he's doing Israel's bidding there. If you were North Korea and you saw, well, the United States took 13 years to make this agreement with Iran and now they're breaking it, wouldn't you want to protect yourself too?
Yes, you would. And that is obviously also has to be put into the mix, that you've got people who are actually firing these missiles because they want to say, we ain't going to go quietly. I mean, I do understand that as well. Mm-hmm. But you can see the coordinated nature of it. in the sense that they're trying to unravel this Iran deal, because Israel wants to go for Iran. I mean, this Project for the New American Century group that involved Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Zakheim and all these people was actually a Zionist creation through Robert Kagan and William Kristol, the co-founders, who are Israeli-American dual citizens. So the Project for the New American Century is there for the benefit of Israel, not the United States. And so with Iran on the list from September 2000, the nuclear agreement with Iran is a problem. It's a problem because it removes the excuse to attack Iran. So they're trying to unravel that deal so that the block on going for Iran is removed. And also, what is happening now, this is very, very important when you put the dots together. Israel is now openly trying to create a coalition with countries it, America, and Britain controls, like Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates, etc., to go for Iran. And what they're saying is Iran is involved in terrorism in the Middle East, and so we have to go for Iran to stop terrorism. And of course, the biggest terrorists of all in the Muslim world are Saudi Arabia, who are terrorizing Yemen every day. And this is the point, Maria, about Saudi Arabia. In the new book, I quote a Saudi royal family dissident who left the family and lives in Germany now, one of the princes, because he was so sickened by the corruption. And he went public while I was writing the book, and I've quoted him in it, saying that the present King Salman was manipulated into to be king by the removal of at least two people who were ahead of him in the pecking order, and had they not died, he would not now be king. And this Saudi prince says that the deal was, we'll make sure, this is Israel and the United States that we're doing this, he says, we will make sure you become king, but we want this ABC in return. In other words, and basically what that ABC was, is you will, from the time you become king, do everything we tell you to do. And what has happened is that they have appointed, really, this crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who is known in Saudi Arabia as Mr. Everything, because he controls everything. I mean, King Salman is simply just a figurehead. It's this crown prince that is running the show. And this is the guy who's now working with Israel and these other Israel, United States-controlled Muslim countries to put together a coalition to go for Iran. And let's not forget that an email of Colin Powell, the Secretary of State at the time of 9/11, which was leaked in the last year or so, has Powell saying to an associate that Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons pointed at Tehran, in Iran. And this, of course, is the nuclear arsenal that Israel will not admit it has, and America literally has an official policy of never asking.
Right.
And because of that, Israel is not subject to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and it can do what it likes. I found it very interesting when I was putting a video together in the last week about the ultra-Zionist hate groups and the way they silence people and destroy their careers. I was interested to look at the example of Helen Thomas, Helen Thomas, of course, the legendary White House correspondent, who was a White House correspondent of across 10 presidents, from JFK to Barack Obama, who, when Obama came in, asked him a question. And obviously with the motive of exposing this, and her question was, Mr. President, do you know of any country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons? And of course, she knows Israel has, he knows Israel has, and he flanneled and he doggy paddled and he prevaricated and he squirmed, but he never answered the question. Not long after that, after she's done an interview with a alternative station, television station, about why she asked that question and what she thought of Israel and its treatment of the Palestinians, she was in the White House garden when she was approached by a rabbi with two children, who started a conversation appearing to be very casual about the fact that these two children wanted to be journalists. What did she think of that? And she said, oh, go for it. It's a great, great career and all that stuff. At which point he pulls out a camera, a phone camera, and asks her what she thinks of Israel. And she, Ellen Thomas seemed to be a very honest person, and she told him what she thought, that they should get out of the territories, basically, the occupied lands. And within no time, her career was over.
I remember. And I also remember.
Obama welcomed it when she resigned. Hearst newspapers told her she had to resign because they were under pressure from the Zionist lobby. And the pathetic, spineless White House press corps issued a statement condemning her. And after all those decades, she was closing in on her 90th birthday, her career was over. And because this is what it's like. All dissent must be crushed.
Exactly. Well, I remember during the Bush administration, when she asked questions about Israel, they delegated her to the back of the room. And that's where she had to sit for the rest of the Bush administration. So it's what we started out saying. Truth is now against the law, and you get demonized for it. David, we need to take a short break. David and I will be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's the holiday season, a season of giving. Well, this holiday season, give a gift that lasts all year, the gift of knowledge. Consider gifting everyone you know a subscription to my show right here at maria.net. It's not just news. There's loads of spiritual, environmental knowledge, as well as tips on being as healthy as you can be. You may also consider giving yourself or someone else a private consultation with me. I love giving people the proper direction for their life based on their own blueprint prior to arriving here. Just send me an email with the name of the person receiving either the consult or subscription you paid for, and I'll set it all up with a note with who the gift is from. What better time than now to give the gift of knowledge? Sun Bear used to say taking in knowledge for the sake of taking in knowledge is a waste of time, and that knowledge only becomes wisdom when it's shared. Now, back to today's show. Welcome back to Conversations with David Icke. And as you can tell, we're really getting into all kinds of stuff here today. David, one of the most important things, and I know you've been super busy, that you haven't had time to cover everything like I unfortunately have to. These fires in California that have started up again this week, the same abnormalities we saw in the fires a couple of months ago. The houses are imploding, literally exploding, and the trees are not burning. And a lot of people are saying this looks like directed energy weapons. Now, I'm sure you've covered directed energy weapons in your books.
Well, this is one of the great areas that really does hide the truth from people. And that is that the level of technological possibility that is in the hands of these people in the shadows is massively ahead of anything you see in the public arena. This is a really massive tool for them, because then they can do things with those, in this case, weapons. And the public in general would never think of the possibility that these things are anything but natural. I mean, I've not researched this particular situation going on in California now, because I've been traveling, but the possibility that these energy weapons could be used to do that is blatantly obvious. Of course they could, and they're there and can be used for that purpose. But because they hide the fact that they the level of potential they have to do this, people would never think of it. They would think it was just natural. It's only the people who are waking up and questioning that will say, "Hold on a minute, this is not right. There's something not right here." And you need to throw in too this war on California, it seems to me,
right,
and other states as well, which involves the drought. I mean, for me, the massive drought situations that California has faced in recent years, there's no way that's natural either. And so we come round to things like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, these plans, in fact, one plan under two names, that are being played out through the United Nations to transform global society. And one of the foundation aims of these agendas is to get people off the land and to force them into dystopian cities where they can be kept under surveillance 24/7. And of course, when people are forced off the land by drought, they can no longer make a living from their farms and their small holdings. When the droughts have destroyed them, of course, the big corporations move in. This is provable fact. I mean, this is documented. They move in and they buy the land for cents on the dollar, and more land goes into the hands of this 1% and less than 1%. And of course, if you're creating fires all over the place and destroying properties and what have you, then of course that's the same thing. I mean, there's a whole story that I covered in earlier books in California where literally the state was going in with armed police and what have you, and they were just telling people, "You are leaving your house. We want the land." And they were using the excuse of zoning laws and the fact that neighbors have complained about the noise or neighbors have complained about the mess in the yard. And the nearest neighbor was miles away. These houses were on their own in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, it was the obvious blatant, you know, insult my intelligence excuse. So all these different ways are being used to clear the land of people to force them into these dystopian cities.
Well, you see also those three major hurricanes, so they called them hurricanes, and how they destroyed Florida, Puerto Rico, and Houston, Texas. And none of those looked natural. None of them looked real. But what I found interesting...
You picked up on another aspect of this. Because people don't realize the absolute advancement now of weather manipulation technology. I mean, what is weather? It's energy. If you can manipulate energy, you can manipulate the weather. They, in general, will see those things as natural, whereas people like you and others that are thinking outside the box and actually taking the trouble and having the self-respect to research things for themselves will see that actually, you know, this weather technology exists to the point where you can literally create hurricanes and therefore use them as weapons of war. I mean, there were people talking about this, insiders talking about this in the 1960s, the late 1960s, about the fact that they were able to manipulate the weather. Even then, what can they do now?
Right, exactly. You know, I watched a movie somebody had sent me online about, it's called Franken Skies. If you haven't seen it, David, you can see it on YouTube. It's great. And I thought I knew so much about weather manipulation. I've been covering that, chemtrails, for so many years. But what was interesting is in the first 10 minutes, I learned a whole lot more, and that this weather manipulation actually began in 1923. Now that blew me away.
Yeah, well, one of the people I quote at length in my last book, Phantom Self, is a guy called Dr. Richard Day, who's a Rockefeller insider, addressed a meeting of pediatricians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1969, and asked them to turn off recording equipment and not take notes, because he was going to tell them how the world was going to change, because this network he represented was going to change it. And he then proceeded to reveal how the world was going to change in ways that not only have been correct in theme, but have been correct in detail. I mean, for instance, one of the doctors, by the way, called Lawrence Dunnigan, he did take notes, and some years later, when he realized that what Day was had said was actually starting to happen, he did some interviews about what was said that day in some detail. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible when you see what Day said against what's happening now.
Yeah, I remember and that.
One of the things, for instance, he said, making it topical to now, is that they were going to make boys and girls the same. They were going to fuse the sexes. I mean, look what's happening. One of the points he made in 1969 is that they already had the ability to manipulate the weather, but it was going to get much more sophisticated. In fact, Dr. Richard Day worked on weather manipulation in the U.S. military during World War II. It goes back a very, very long time. You're absolutely right. And a lot of the people that were involved in the creation of the Manhattan Project, the creation of the atomic bomb, actually moved on afterwards and started operating and working in weather manipulation.
Mm. Well, here's another interesting thing. These fires in California began almost simultaneously, David, with Trump stealing 85% of Native American land in Utah this week. So when I looked at that, you know, you already have six Native tribes that are starting a lawsuit against him. For, I think one of their lands, they lost 50%, the other 85%, that's sacred ground to them. So they definitely are identifying with the people of Gaza because I watch them on social media. But I said, well, there's another land grab. And to me, everything just points to Agenda 21.
Exactly, it does, yes, and it's upgrade 2030. Trump is a front man, and what happened is that the manipulators, who are experts in manipulating perception, they realized that there was a whole massive area of people now who were sick of what has been happening. They were sick of having no voice. They were sick of the two-party, one-party state, which they realized the Democrats and the Republicans are actually Republicrats. They're just one party in truth. Right. And they rode that, they surfed that wave with Trump, who told that constituency everything it wanted to hear. Mm. This is why you had great chunks of the alternative media, as it calls itself, the alternative media, jumping on in support of Trump.
I know.
He was telling them what they wanted to hear. And of course, from the moment he came to power, we saw his real motivations and the motivations of those who control him, with giving Goldman Sachs the control of the finance, and with appointing more billionaires to an American government than in U.S. political history. So he is doing the bidding of these corporations and this less than 1%. And therefore, he will, of course, be doing what is necessary to advance Agenda 21, 2030, because that's his job. That's what he's there for. And everything else is just window dressing. I say to people, outcomes change the reality. Words don't change reality. Outcomes change reality. Right. Yes, words can affect the outcome, but it's the outcome that counts. So instead of telling me what Trump is saying, look at what is happening because of what Trump is doing.
Exactly.
That's what changes things, not what he says.
Right.
And when you look at his doing rather than his saying, he's classic neocon in what he's doing, and classic Agenda 21, 2030.
Well, speaking of Agenda 21, I don't know if you've seen this or not, because I know how busy you've been. But of all places, Bill Gates has bought many, many acres in Phoenix to create the first smart city right here in Phoenix, Arizona, and just a stone's throw from a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, and look what the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia has announced. Exactly the same, a smart city the size of New York.
Yeah, I mean, this is all Agenda 21, and yet I saw people's reactions in Phoenix saying, "Oh, this sounds great. I want to be the first one to move in."
Yeah, yeah, and the CIA have been doing trials of a smart city. I could continue to do so, I believe, in New Mexico, and of course, this connects into the transhumanist agenda, where the human brain is planned to be connected to artificial intelligence. This is all connected to the smart city concept, and what are called smart cities. These are the dystopian cities of total control. That stealing the land and forcing people off the land is forcing people into this. It's so blatant when
right.
you see it. And in this new book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, I connect all these dots, and the picture becomes so blatantly obvious, it's almost laughable.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and yet I see people saying, "Wow, that sounds great. I can't wait to move in." And I'm like, "Oh my God." But look at Saudi Arabia.
Because most people never question anything.
No, they
don't. Most people get their information from postage stamp normal and the mainstream everything. And if they do, they're never going to see it.
Well, here's the thing. You talked a little bit about alternative media falling for the bullshit with this election. What I couldn't understand, David, is so many intelligent people that I've interviewed and had on my show, and I know their work, how so many of them, even those who had covered how they steal elections and that our vote doesn't count, jumped on the Trump bandwagon. It broke my heart to see that happen. I was like, did you forget all the 20 years we've been covering stolen elections? And, you know, the one party for the rich?
They did for a number of reasons. Maybe there are some people out there, and I'm sure there are, who actually have been saying the right things up to a certain point, but are actually not doing it for the right reasons. And then there's the other big, big reason, and that is the incredible power of telling people what they want to hear. You know, when people see what's going on and where it's leading, they become if they don't have backbone and they don't hold their values and they don't hold their sense of looking at the big picture, then they become very susceptible to being told what they want to hear, which is somebody's coming to power who's going to sort it all out.
Right, savior.
And a lot of them bought it because he was telling them what they wanted to hear. I mean, you know. What are people like you and me doing? We're telling a hell of a lot of people what they don't want to hear.
Right.
So when you get some bad stuff comes back, they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So you tell people what they want to hear. This is what Trump was doing. This is how he got in. He told this old vast constituency that had rejected the old paradigm of left and right.
Drain the swamp.
And he told them what they want to hear, and they voted for him. This is how it works. What did Obama do? He told people his natural constituency that was going to get him in, the progressives,
right.
He told them what they wanted to hear. It's an old, old, ever-recurring trick, and
absolutely.
You've got to be streetwise to not fall for it. And unfortunately, as you point out there, a lot of people did.
I was stunned. That's all I could say. I was very disappointed. I was brokenhearted over some of them. I tried to talk some sense into them. We ended up fighting. I mean, it was crazy. I was like, you know that elections are bogus. Why would you even think of taking sides with either party? You know, there's a lot of articles going around right now that millennials are demanding a third party. they don't want to vote for either of the first of the two parties. But in this country, they continuously demonize the millennials because they seem to be more awake than other people. So I said, but there's been a third party all along. Nobody votes third party except me and maybe a handful of people I know.
Yeah, because, I mean, third parties get no coverage. They're hardly ever mentioned. And the mainstream media focus attention on the two parties so that the one-party state can continue with another front man in the next 4 to 8 years. This is how it works. And, you know, in the end, you know, people just have to take responsibility for what is happening and not just blame other people.
Absolutely.
You know, a handful of people, comparatively, can't control 7.5 billion if the 7.5 billion won't let them. But they do, because most of those people are just they've had their perceptions hijacked, and those perceptions are confirmed every day by the mainstream media, mainstream education, mainstream everything. And if they don't start thinking outside of that, then they're just going to sleepwalk into this Orwellian nightmare, which they are doing. This is why, you know, you do everything you can to get this information circulating to
Absolutely.
Give people another way of looking at the world.
Absolutely.
And this, bringing it round to where we started out, is why they are so focusing on silencing people. This is why Google and YouTube, owned by Google, and Facebook, etc., Twitter now, are
right.
algorithmically censoring information that challenges the prevailing narrative.
Oh, yeah. If I put this show up on YouTube, they're going to kick it back and demonetize it. They will not.
Yeah,
the only
exactly,
ones
yeah.
they allow me to are what I would consider like my fluff stuff. You know, my spiritual shows or astrology, they're okay with that. But I put something up with you or with Richard Grove, they kick it right back. Which
yep.
is...
Yep, it's the same. It's the same with what I do. I do a video cast every week for the public and another one for subscribers to the site. And the public one gets kicked back every week in terms of monetization. Every time I mention Israel, every time I mention manipulation, any of that.
Right.
This is the world we live in now. It's
well. Do you have any intention?
It's all well on steroids.
Do you have any intention of stopping? Because I don't.
Well, no. I've been at it now for nearly 3 decades. I'm I will be at it. Till the moment I leave this reality, really.
Good. I agree. I feel the same way. David, thank you so much for joining me. And I look
Pleasure.
Forward to our next show where we can really dig into your new book.
Okay. We'll get one on the way to you.
All right. You take good care. Thanks,
Cheers,
David.
Maria.
Bye.
Bye.
David Icke. Check him out. DavidIcke.com. Read every one of his books, especially Perception, Deception, The Phantom Self. And I don't have it yet, but I will have it hopefully in the next week. His latest book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told. And man, it's a lot. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.